Just a warning, this episode will contain spoilers. Come back to this episode once you've read Josh and Hazel's Guide to Not Dating by Christina Lauren.
Hey besties, welcome back to Boozy Book Talk. I'm Andy.
I'm Ren.
And I'm Jen. Welcome back.
We're back. Yay.
We're having like a double feature over here.
Literally, because what the listeners don't know is that we're recording back to back.
Yeah, recording yesterday. No recording today.
Yeah.
Yep. It's weird. It's always like a month between time.
Yeah.
What happened? I missed it. What'd you say?
Literally. I said back to back. Bow, 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 bow. I do our own in-house. We can't afford post sound effects anymore. I gotta do them in-house.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Not in-house.
What was I gonna say? But yeah, honestly, it's like funny because like we're always like a month of time and it feels like forever. And I'm like today I was like doing my thing and I was like, wait, like I'm recording again today. Mm-hmm. It's just weird. I'm just not used to it. Like usually we'll do it like back to back or like 5 months apart, it feels like. But
I know, like just imagine what our updates are gonna be because we just said them yesterday.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
And I were talking about like that. It's fun that we're recording back to back though because we hadn't recorded for like 2 months. We're filling up the gap.
So true. And honestly, I do like the besides like the update part, I think that's like what's fun about recording every 3 weeks is like you have an update, you know.
But
like
I agree,
like sure. That like we're doing it, we're so like feels productive of us guys. It feels like we're like getting the ball.
We're an authentic podcast. Exactly. Yeah.
True. And we always come back from a hiatus.
We do. We may take one, but we will be back. Doesn't matter. Depends when.
But we will.
Anyway, Andy. It's always the cat. It's always the cat. I swear. You gotta blame
yeah.
The cat's our fourth member.
Literally.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on the book, Pepper?
She said it was kind of good. I gave it a 3.5 and yeah.
A 3.5.
Yeah, she's not really a romance girl.
She's sassy. She doesn't really like it.
Yeah. She doesn't like other people's joy.
So true.
That's what it is.
But like don't ask me why. I have a mental illness where I'm obsessed with certain.
Me too.
Like, I get obsessed with certain things. Like I like literally obsess over it to the point where
phases. Yeah.
So like obviously I mentioned last episode in my ACOTAR phase, my favorite character is Nesta Archeron.
Yeah. She's, like, you said so, that like, I wouldn't like her, and I'm like, why? You didn't answer.
I can't explain. It's something you just got to experience, like.
And but when like, I start reading that series, then what?
Then you'll know what I mean. Like, you gotta, I can't explain, you're either a Nesta girly or you're not a Nesta girly, but.
But you don't like, think I am.
No, I don't know. I have no idea. Like, I can go, you can go either way. Like, I am a Nesta girly. She's like such a bitch and like a miserable and like sassy, but like you grow to love her because she has like reasons. But anyway, it's like ironic because it's like miserable girl. You would think like hate, love and stuff is the biggest. She's always reading romance novels. She loves reading smut. It's like so iconic to me that it's like ironic, you know, like who would have thought, but
yeah,
that's actually Pepper.
You know what? Like, it might be.
You can go either way.
Maybe Pepper's she's a Nesta girly.
She is.
Well, what do you have to say? She looks shy. She looks shy.
Insert me out here.
Yeah.
You know she's on the spot.
She looks shy. Like she's trying to hide something. You know, I think you're onto something there, Brynn.
Yeah.
She sneaks my iPad into her cat bed at night and just reads the dirtiest.
She does. Because she wants to cover the naked men on the cover. She likes to having it reading on the Kindle. / iPad.
Exactly.
Anyway, so what has everybody been up to in the past 24 hours?
Wow. So much, Ren. I'm so glad you asked. I worked and I took a nap. And now here we are.
Love that.
Yeah, I mean, same. I worked overtime for the first time in a long time.
Wow.
Which, but okay, I didn't do much in the morning, so.
Oh, T. I was going to say, I'm glad because at the very least, you haven't done it in a long time. Whereas before, like every day, you were working hours upon hours of overtime.
And yeah, it would be until like, right, like right now, keep in mind that I stopped working around like 7. And before, my overtime would literally be into like 10.
Yeah. 11,
like
nightly.
Yeah. It was bad.
Remember one weekend you literally worked, like you worked the whole week, like constantly. And then the whole weekend you were working like, it felt like you were working 24 hours straight. Like you were like on a call. Like,
yeah, I would, it would come to the point where I would like wake up, work, go to sleep. And just like a cycle of that. It was bad. It got really bad at the end.
Oh. Fuck Lisa.
Okay. Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah.
What
about you, Ren? You got a trip coming up.
Yeah, so from last night, I got off the call. I did some reading, but like I wrote mostly just scrolling. I was up to like 4 a.m. Like it's been bad recently.
I went to sleep actually.
I was up for like maybe an hour later on my phone and then I fell asleep.
And it's funny because like I'm 3 hours ahead of you guys already.
Yeah, it was so late, but I was so drained. But keep in mind, like I think Addie too, like we came straight from like work to the podcast.
Mm-hmm. Basically, yeah.
Yeah, and I woke up at noon that yesterday. So
oh wow, you're living here.
Yeah. It's bar exam life, pre-work life. It's been nice. But I woke up today like around like 11, so like not much later. And then I literally, what did I even do? I ate and I literally was like, you know that like TikTok sound where it's like, today drained me. Like I
literally tweeted that and I laughed out loud when I saw your tweet, Ren.
Because every day I get up at noon, I eat, and then I put my bathing suit on and go with my book to the pool and sit out there for like hours. And I was like in my head, I'm like saying the sound like, today drained me, like making fun.
And that's the life you deserve to be living.
Yeah, I mean, nice 2 weeks doing it. Like then I go on a trip. But yeah, that's what I did today. And here I am, and I started packing. But yep. So this episode comes out. No, not in this episode. This episode comes out, I'll be home from Italy. So yeah. I'll like talk about it on the next episode.
Yeah. So 2 months after your trip, you'll be updating the listeners about basically.
Yeah.
About that would be good because then I'll have like some work, like a couple weeks of work in. So I'll have like
definitely, you know, true.
Stuff to say about that too. So
exactly. Lots coming up for Ren, ladies and gentlemen. Lots coming up.
Big girl things.
Big girl
exactly.
Things.
Exactly.
We're excited for you.
Thanks, PR. So
exciting updates, I really gotta say. Riveting stuff from all of us.
I would say, what are you guys reading? But like, have you guys made it like started reading a book in the past 24 hours?
Actually, no. I am still on page 34 on Malibu Rising.
Oh my god,
I'm telling you, I fell asleep.
I know
the timing of that was brilliant, Jen, I gotta say.
Love that for me. No, but I mean, yeah, I'm still on page 34. Ren, I'm gonna give you updates, you already know.
So, okay, how about we do it this way? Like, what are you planning on reading next?
Malibu Rising. I'm a mood reader. I don't know what I'll be reading next.
You don't have any idea?
According to my idea in my head, before I left to Mexico, I was supposed to have finished Every Summer After. I was supposed to have started Something Wilder. And by now, I should have finished Malibu Rising. But here we are, August 9th, Tuesday at 7:56 p.m. PST.
And I've read none of that.
And I have not read any of those books. I love to plan, but I just know that when it gets to it, I just end up choosing whatever I want to be reading at that time.
I'm typically like that too. Recently I've been kind of planning it, but like for the most part I'm more spontaneous, so I feel that.
Yeah,
it's, I feel like it's easier to plan and stick to it when you're reading a series.
Yes. Yeah. Yes and no. And
like you sometimes it depends on the series. Yeah. Like I feel like probably ACOTAR. That's it's easier to plan and anticipate sticking to the plan.
Yeah, like when I read Harry Potter, I like took breaks. Like ACOTAR, it was a fresh story to me, so I went straight through.
Yeah.
Today I made some progress. I'm probably gonna finish the second Crescent City book tomorrow. The whole book's been amazing so far, but it's just been like so crazy. Like I'm in the pool, like I literally gasp sometimes, and it's just been so good. It's been like a wild ride, and I have so many theories. But then after, I think I said last episode last night, I'm gonna start throwing a glass next. So
yeah,
that's my plan. I'm a planner right now with my reading. What about Ren. You, Andy?
Wait, what? Pause, Ren. Mm-hmm. For someone who is trying to get into fantasy, where do you recommend that they start?
The ones I've read, I would say ACOTAR, because you really can't read Crescent City without reading ACOTAR.
Oh, T.
And then Throne of Glass, you can start, but
is it the same world?
No. It's confusing.
What? I thought you were telling me it's going to be like a multiverse type situation.
So like Throne of Glass, there's like Fae in there, I believe. They're all different worlds, but like there's idea, and Crescent City is kind of a book that's like bringing in kind of like a multiverse, like characters are entering. I don't know exactly the same universe, the same worlds, but there's some overlap.
You said stay tuned.
Yeah, but if you're gonna like start with any of them, I suggest starting with ACOTAR. Okay. It's more not like,
yeah, is it?
No, but like every book she finished, she's really good with not leaving anything unanswered. At least for like ACOTAR, like every book ends
nice
and like you know how it ends, and you're like satisfied. So this book ended pretty well. She has like two more, I think, a novella, but. Like I'm satisfied. Like it doesn't feel like I'm annoyed. Where
you're not on the edge of your seat.
Yeah, like for Crescent City, I'm gonna be on the edge of my seat. Like what the hell? That's why she's like she literally already wrote the book and she's like editing now to hurry up and release it because it leaves us on like what the hell. So the ACOTAR's good.
Okay,
good and it's know. My baby. I'm like. I can't. I literally can't.
I'm scared of reading that book because of you.
I was scared for you to read it because, like, if you don't like it as much, I can't explain. It's like one of those things. Like, either obsessed with it or you're like, but you like fantasy though.
Yeah.
So, I think you will really like it. Especially once you hit the second book, it's like you are up. Like, it's like literally, it's obsessive. Like. Even Mel agreed with me. Like Mel was like, this is the best fantasy series I've read. And she's read a couple, like good amount.
She has.
She's obsessed with it. She like literally is like the Funko Pop. She has like the dust jackets, gets different versions of the book.
I want a Funko Pop. I love Funko Pops.
But yeah. She's obsessed. That's so cool. I'm like, okay. So it's not just like, yeah. Anyway. But,
Andy, what about you?
Yeah. What are you planning on reading anything good next?
I mean, I think I was telling you guys yesterday how I had a whole list of like, literally my entire June and July planned out, so I'll probably roll a dice and go for one of those. I don't know if I'll stick with the order I originally planned out. I won't. So I'm not quite sure what I want to do next, because I don't really feel like doing something physical right now, like a physical book. I don't really want to have to deal with holding one, so probably something on my iPad for now, and what that will be, we'll see. I have a couple different things on there that I might start with. I might do My Killer Vacation by Tessa Bailey. I might do the Twisted series. One of those probably will be next.
Ooh, wait for me for the Twisted series.
Okay.
Because I want to read those. So tell me when you want to read them, and then I could just start.
Okay. T.
Ouch. And if you're kind of in a slump, I feel like it might be good to start with Tessa Bailey, because it's like, she's your favorite.
I know she'll get me out of it. Yeah.
So that's good.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. I just fear with My Killer Vacation, because that's had the, like, a pretty good amount of mixed reviews. Like, I've seen people on TikTok that I generally have agreements with on in terms of...
I know. I'm scared about reading My Killer Vacation because I've heard mixed reviews too.
Yeah. But like, there's a few TikTokers that I, or BookTokers, whatever, that I like, that generally speaking, like, we have very similar tastes. And pretty much all of them liked My Killer Vacation if they read it.
Oh, good then.
So I feel like I am a Tessa girl. So either way, I'll like it probably. But
you are a Tessa girl.
Yeah, I was actually talking to Mel yesterday about, like, I messaged her about Crescent City, and she was saying she was reading the new Tessa Bailey book, and she was, like, disappointed. She usually likes her, and I was like, oh my god.
Oh, I'm scared.
Okay. That's how I feel, like, with the Reminders of Him. Like, it was kind of like, damn, like, you know? So,
no.
Yeah.
People liking it. Like, it's been,
people,
like, at least
people who liked it are so fake.
They lie.
No, why are you lying? You're lying with your whole chest, because that book, I was trying to find, like, the good in it, but just the plot itself, like, from the beginning, it didn't hit at all.
Yeah, like, it felt like
so bad for you guys, because you were all so anticipated, like, you were so excited.
We all pre-ordered it.
I was like, I'll wait, because I know Colleen can sometimes be hit or miss. So what are we all drinking today? 2 days in a row of drinking, guys. We're so wild and crazy.
I know.
So wild and crazy that I'm drinking water again.
Jen, stop. Yeah, it.
Your excuse.
I know you're itching for a drink too. I just feel it. You always
am.
It's just, you hate not having one for us.
Exactly. You guys feel me. You feel me.
Yeah.
So if you were to have a drink, what would you have?
I miss cocktails in general. I miss having, like, a michelada with, like, little chamoy and, like, tajin on, like, little
the rim.
Rims. Yeah. I just miss drinking in general. I'm sad.
I'm sorry.
There's a lot I could drink that I probably shouldn't. Maybe a mimosa flight. Oh, that sounds good.
I love.
Yeah,
that sounds good. I can't wait to get Aperol Spritz in Italy. I don't. It randomly came to my mind. I just thought of a cocktail, like, some kind of mixed drink.
Because that just feels so Italian.
It does. It does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that for you, then.
Me too.
Thank you. I'll be so drunk. I think I'm gonna try to just get a gelato and then an Aperol Spritz, and that'll be like my.
And double fisted it with those.
Yeah. But right now, unfortunately,
for 10 days,
I'm just so sick of it. I swear at the end, I'm gonna be like the TikTok sounds where it's like, God bless America, and it's like the ice, the AC. Like,
no, come back. You know, wait, are you the one that said that they don't have AC in Italy?
They don't. They don't have AC like anywhere where I was
in
there.
Europe.
No fucking ice. Like, I want cold water. Like, I can't.
Yeah.
Oh, my fingers made this big, like, so fat. But anyway, but now I'm a true American, and I'm drinking White Claws, lemon White Claws.
You gotta let them know who you are before you get in there.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, pause. You know what's funny? Remember when I used to talk so much shit about the Italians, like the Italian Harrys?
Ew.
Yeah.
You, Ren.
They're annoying as fuck. They're creepy and they stalk him.
It's just funny because you're gonna go to Italy, you're gonna meet an Italian Harry.
So true.
I'm an American Italian Harry.
You're gonna be one of those.
An American Harry in Italy. That's a beautiful.
Exactly. So plot. True. So true. Andy, what are you drinking?
Guys.
I'm excited for your drink.
I know, reveal. You already know, sort of. I have a mixed drink.
Yours looks so good. I want that.
I have a Dirty Shirley here.
I love them. They remind me of my formals in college. I would always order that.
I have been wanting a Shirley Temple, and I was like, why not go crazy and throw some vodka in there? And as I've spoken to you guys about before, I'm always like, I feel weird just having a bottle of liquor, blah, 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 blah. I was like, fuck that. I can have a bottle of liquor. So I bought a little bottle of Tito's. And
a win for any nation.
Made myself a dirty Shirley. So anticipate many vodka-based drinks for the future coming episodes.
Love that.
Me
for
just
you.
Being like, I have a vodka and this today. Vodka and this.
I'm excited for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not like you're like, we record every night and you're like, need to get myself a nice vodka drink.
Yeah, like, no. We'll record again. I'll open that bottle again in a month and a half.
Yeah. Literally. It was gonna take you like 25 years to get through it. Podcast will probably be done by the time you finish the bottle.
Yeah. Also, like, I mean, I'm glad I got it because, not to sound lame, but I was like, sometimes the past couple weeks I've been like, man, I need a drink after work. So I was like, it'll be nice to have it. So then like I can, if I want to have one every once in a while, just be like, make myself a little drinky drink. But not go crazy because I don't want to form a habit.
Don't worry, I'm not touching you. I literally have glasses of wine after like studying all day. Like, it's okay.
Yeah, no, I know you're not judging me. I wasn't saying that.
People are like, you have a drink during the week. Oh my God, you're an alcoholic. Like, fucking chill, dude. Like, seriously. People are like over 20 or at least like in their 20s. Like, you can have a drink during the week and like, we're not fiending to drink 24/7 anymore, you know? Like,
yeah.
You can have a drink during the week and it'd be fine.
Okay. Anyway, shall we move on to the reason we're all here today, ladies and gentlemen? Which would be Josh and Hazel's guide. Thank you, Ren. We're all here for Josh and Hazel's Guide to Not Dating by Christina Lauren, in which Hazel Bradford knows she's a lot to take, and frankly, most men aren't up to the challenge. If her army of pets and the thrill for the absurd don't send them running, her lack of filter means she'll say exactly the wrong thing in a delicate moment. She's a good soul in search of honest fun. Josh M. has known Hazel since college, where her zany playfulness proved completely incompatible with his mellow restraint. From the first night they met, when she gracefully threw up on his shoes, to when she sent him an unintelligible email while in a post-surgical haze, Josh has always thought of Hazel more as a spectacle than a peer. But now, 10 years later, after a cheating girlfriend has turned his life upside down, going out with Hazel is a breath of fresh air. Not that Josh and Hazel date, at least not each other, because setting each other up on progressively terrible double blind dates means there's nothing between them, right? Wow, what a plot. What a plot. Christina Lauren, what a plot.
We love you, Christina Lauren.
Nobody, Andy, what a plot.
What a plot.
I mean, because of what a plot, you know? I didn't know what else to say.
Spelled.
Thanks. Yeah, I personally really love this book. I think I was the last to read it of all of us. You guys read it together. And then a couple months later, I finally hopped on the train. And I said this to Ren earlier. Like, I think of pretty much any book couple as my babies. Like, I truly, truly, in my heart, Josh and Hazel are my babies. Like, I love them so much. I have such, like, they're a glowing sun when I think of them. And that sounds silly, but genuinely, like, I think of Josh and Hazel and it's just like a really beautiful sunny day. And like, that's how they make me feel. Because I love them. What about you guys?
What do you rate it?
I gave it a 4.5 out of 5. Sometimes I do feel it's a 5, but there's a reason I did give it a 4.5 that we can get into later. Spoiler alert, they had a baby and I don't fuck with kids. So how to deduce
not that
0.5. However, in the instance that they had it, actually I didn't hate it. Normally I'm like, ugh, gross. I actually did enjoy it for them, but still had it a deuce. But it still does waver between a five sometimes for me. What about you guys?
I honestly, first of all, we all know, I don't need to remind us every episode, but I'll say it again. I'm a friends to lovers girl at the end of the day. I am always going to choose that as a favorite trope. Like, I loved it. And Christina Lauren, honestly, like, they're my go-to friends lovers people. Like, they write good friends lovers books. And this one was just, like, so cute and top tier. Like, I was reading it and, like, audibly laughing. Like, I think people I've seen, like, people say Hazel's very annoying. And, like, she's, like, the quirky girl. Like, she's, like, it's trying too hard to be quirky. Like, she's just, like, funny to me. She's funny in the way that Jessica Day is funny to me. You know, like, they're just funny. And it's like they're trying too hard. It's just, like, who they are. And I loved her character. She's so relatable. Like, I loved, like, the prologue opens up. And it's funny initially. And she's talking about, like, how she first meets Josh. And she throws up on his shoes. And how she's, like, banging his roommate. And he walks in on her, sees her naked. And she's, like, so a few things you should know about me. I'm both broke and lazy, a terrible combination, me. Two, I'm perpetually awkward at parties, and in an effort to relax, we'll probably end up drinking until I'm topless. Like, she's just so funny, like knows who she is, and just, like, you take her as she comes, and, like, she's just a good character. I loved her. And Josh is, like, a character that, like, isn't embarrassed of her. He, like, I don't know, like, they just get along so well. Like, they're opposites, but, like, their chemistry is good. And I think the book was just so creative and fun, and I was never bored throughout it. Like, it was, and there, I think Christina Lauren also writes really good dialogue. Their dialogue in the book is so good as well. And yeah, I just I really, really loved it. And I was telling Andy before we recorded, like, when I think of rom-coms or, like, sitcoms that have romance in it, like, Josh and Hazel are that type of couple. Like, it's that type of story. Like, it gives me the vibe of, like, a movie Set It Up, like, their banter, or, like, Friends with Benefits, or, like, certain things. And also, but I also get a vibe of, like, I was saying, like, Jessica Day and Nick Miller from New Girl. Like, I get, like, all these different vibes. Like, that to me, like, this is, like, the epitome of, like, what a rom-com book is. And I just loved it so much. Like, I really, it was such an enjoyable read, and I recommend it to everybody. It's so good. I think I gave it a 4 when I read it, only because I feel like the end was kind of rushed, which we can get into that later. But the more I think about it, like, I'm like, it could be a 4.5. So, like, 4 to 4.5, like, it kind of goes there. I don't have, like, a distinct choice, but yeah, I loved it. So good. What about you, Jen?
I agree. I gave this because we buddy read it at the time, like, last year. It was last year, right? Yeah. I also rated it a 4 because of that specific thing. Like, I love Josh and Hazel. I will protect especially Hazel, like, against the world. Like, if she has 1 million fans, I'm one of her fans. If she has 1,000 fans, I'm one of her fans. You know that phrase? I don't know the rest, but I'm her number one fan.
If she has, like, no fans, I'm dead. Yeah.
Exactly. No, but I just love her so much. She's so misunderstood by the world. Like, and she, I think, personally, I feel like she uses her personality as, like, a defense mechanism, because, yes, she is very sunshine, but you could tell that sometimes, like, it's a facade for, like,
she's vulnerable.
Yes, exactly. And I love her. I will protect her to death. And I just love how, like, Josh and Hazel just balance each other. Like they're literally, like, opposites attract, but they're, like, they balance each other out, and they're best friends. And I'm obsessed with them. This literally made me love Friends to Lovers. But I mean, I'm obviously still
an as lovers girly,
but I saw the hype with Friends to Lovers with this book, because they do write it very well. They wrote it very well. And I think I would have given it a 5. I think this is actually my favorite Christina Lauren book so far. I would
really even more than on Honeymooners.
Like now thinking about it, yeah, because I think I rated on Honeymooners 5, but I don't think they're my favorite couple. I think
that's how I feel. These
two are my favorite couple.
What about Millie and Reed, like book wise?
Book wise, I think I liked that one more. But I'm Josh and Hazel, because mm-hmm. I'm more attached to Hazel as a person. Same. Like I'm so protective of her. I would have given it a 5 had I not felt that the ending was very abrupt. And I think that's kind of my problem with Christina Lauren in general. I think a lot of her endings, like maybe they just don't know how to end them, but
know how to wrap it up like a
similar to how Emily Henry is, I feel like there's just so much build up and then it's like, and then it ends.
But she got it on Book Lovers.
Yes.
She did. I don't care. And Christina Lauren, it's constant. Like they wrote so many books.
Yeah. Before. I was going to say that they're further down their career.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But yeah, that's pretty much where I stand with this book.
You said you gave your rating already. So does nobody understand does anybody else get the Jessica Day vibe from her?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Of course, yeah. I think I got more
she's a quirky teacher.
Yeah. I got more of the new girl vibe as a whole with the other book. But I do see the Jessica Day personality with Hazel.
Personality traits. Yeah.
I was like going through this book earlier and I was like looking at things like their conversations and it's just like so subtle, like the way she like says something so random and then like he just answers like what the hell. Like she's like, I sometimes wonder what the world would be like if clothes were never invented, and he's like, I literally never wondered that. Like it's just the way he like answers her and like she's so random and funny and he's like, I feel like you're making me drunk just by speaking. And like that is like the epitome of her personality. And that he's like such a serious like physical therapist, and he is like his girlfriend who doesn't give him the time of day and like cheats on him. And then you have Hazel, like this like bright bubbly light in his life, and like she's like, they meet after all this time and she's like, you're gonna be my best friend, like I'm gonna be your best man in your wedding, which it can't happen now, but
yeah.
Like, I just love that she's like so like, While she is quirky, she's just also like confident. Like I wish I can go to people and like you're gonna be my friend and like make them love you because you can't help but love her. Like yeah. Even like Emily says it later in the book, like she's a million friends and it's for a reason because she's so lovable. And I'm like I want to be Hazel in that sense. Like mm-hmm. Whereas like I don't have anxiety when it comes to shit like that and I say what I feel and like. Unapologetically, like she was. I remember they went on a date, and on one of them, he's like, "She's crazy," and she's just like, literally just being herself. And then it's nuts because at the end of the day, like he's miserable and she's happy, and that's how it goes. And I just love her. I think she's like iconic, and yeah. She's unapologetically herself.
Mm-hmm. And I love how pure their friendship is and how pure it starts. And like you mentioned, how she just goes up to him and is like, you're gonna be my best friend, because like they knew each other because he was her TA in college, and then they had a few different random like little run-ins, and then 10 years later she's at her other best friend like backyard barbecue or something. And then there's Josh, and she's like, whoa, I know that guy. Turns out her best friend, Emily, is his sister. Small world, whatever, we love. He has a girlfriend at the time. Later on, finds out she's cheating. But like you said, she goes up and she's like, you're going to be my best friend. And then they just, like, she forcibly, like, makes him hang out with her at the beginning. And he's just like, but he goes along with it. Like, it's forcibly, but, like, not really. Because he's just like, okay, yeah, sure, like, I'll hang out with you. And then like
goes with it. Yeah.
Her house floods and she goes and stays with him. And then she leaves and he's like, whoa, this feels weird now that she's not there anymore. Like their friendship is just so sweet and so pure. And it's like, it's such a, as like a other Friends to Lovers girly, like it's just such a a pure like development of that happening, and it just like makes me so happy, like reading this and hearing it, seeing this story develop. Like, this is one of those books that like I go back and I do reread certain scenes a lot. Like, I had such particular memory of the ending because I've reread the ending so many times. Even though it is abrupt, like without a doubt it is, like their confession and everything at the end, it just like kills me. It's so cute. I'm a goner.
It's also like that, like, I don't want to say it's a trope, but like the kind of like you're their best friends, but like the girl's like, he can never be into a girl like me. Like, I'm not his type. I'm not pretty, like cool enough, whatever. And like, she's like, I remember like the way he describes her is like, she's like 5'1", 110 pounds soaking wet, big doe eyes, her hair's all crazy. And at the time he comes in and like, her like every toenail is painted a different color, like she's goofy in that sense. And like later on, like she's like saying like, he can never like the girl like me, like I'm not his type, like, you know,
they both feel out of each other's league.
Yeah, like, and it's just, I love that idea of like the friends to lovers, when like they just feel like, oh, he'll never like a girl like me, but like, no, he does, like,
yeah.
And I just love that like little plot line, and I'm like, at the end of the day, like, to me, is why I'm such a big friends lovers girl, is because like they know you, they understand you, they see you at your worst, they see you at your best, and like, and like the fact that they can fall in love with you, and like you don't have to like have this like new like, hi, how are you, how's your family, like they know everything about you, and you can just start from there. I think it's just so cute, and you don't have to act like somebody you're not, and like it's like a small little barrier that like is so delicate, and once you cross it, there's no going back. But I think it's so romantic, and like just seeing like them freak out, like, oh my God, could he like me? Could he ever like me? Oh my God, I think I like her. I think I love her. Like, I think it's just so, to me, it's just romantic. I don't know what else to say. I love it.
Spilled. Truthfully. I also, it's a silly thing to be a sucker for, but I'm a sucker for nicknames. I think I've talked about this every time, like anytime. And this isn't even like a pet name nickname. He just calls her Haze. And I think that's like so sweet. And I'm looking through my highlights actually, and there's a part where she points it out. Cause he says, hold up. This is embarrassing. I should have been prepared. It says Haze. Like, it's a quote from her point of view, but he just called her Haze. Haze. I continue feeling the warm glow fill me when I realize he shortened my name out of familiarity. Like, that's just so sweet. He literally dropped the L. He dropped the L. And like
it made him like her, like she's his friend now, like not just Emily's friend.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's and like,
I was just going to say, speaking of that, there's another quote too, where I think Emily was saying something like calling her my Hazel. And there's a quote where he says, well, my Hazel too, he says, and I don't have to tell you that I'm freaking delighted by this.
That was literally what I was going to say.
Oh, really? Yeah. Like, come on. No, absolutely. And I just love also that they have that shared person in Emily that, like, it has... And like Emily and him have like that competition almost over her sometimes. Like, that's how much of a friend he becomes to her so quickly that like he truly becomes like a best friend, rivaling her other best friend that she's had for years. Like, that's just how connected they are. Ugh.
I also love that even his parents loved her and they did yes. not like his ex-girlfriend.
Yes.
And they were together for years, but they loved Hazel. And I love
immediately.
How, like, yeah, and I loved how like he was so protective of her, like when she would go, like when they would go on these like double dates, like these blind dates, and like the guys would get like kind of like weirded out by Hazel, he would mm-hmm. always be like defending her. Like, I loved that. I just mm-hmm. I don't know,
it was like they were on dates with each other, and like even like their dates have pointed it out, like, you're on the date with the wrong person.
Yeah,
like, they, yeah, the and they were always like, no,
Yeah, they're like, oh, whatever.
We're
like
just friends.
Yeah, the one date they did, like, they went to a bar and did trivia or something. And then he's always like, be my partner, be my partner. And he's like, run to each other people. We have to, like, not be partners. And they end up being partners and, like, they went on a cruise or something. But it's just funny because, like, at the end of the day, like, it's like, were they picking these shitty people on purpose? Like, subconsciously?
I know, yeah. Unconsciously, yeah. I just think it's funny, like, how you mentioned that, like, everyone they went on a date with, they saw their chemistry, but they didn't. Like, they didn't see it that way. They just thought, it's just Josh, it's just Hazel. Like,
yeah, you know? Yeah. Even Emily and her husband, like, there was a time, I think, like, after Hazel was living with him for a little bit, they went over to Emily's house and had dinner, and they were like, something going on here. Because, like, they just, like, clicked so well that his sister / her best friend were like, hold the fuck up. What's going on here? There's like, but they were just like, no, we're just besties. Like, stop. Ugh. I was also gonna say, like, I just love the concept of this book too. Like, is it maybe not outrageously creative? No, but does it feel like it is? Yes. Like, I haven't read another book where, like, they're friends to lovers and the whole book is basically them just going on double dates with other people, like blind dates that they set up with each other on a double date.
Like, we're used to fake dating, but this is, like, different. Like, they're double dating with each other.
And, like, exactly.
It's like a different element.
Like, that's just so fun. Yeah, exactly. And I thought, I can't lie, I was shook when they have the one double date and in walks her ex and he's like,
Tyler, yes.
Yes. Yes. And
he was shook.
And it was like the one ex that she like solidly had. And that's when he really starts recognizing his feelings for her, because he like gets immediately jealous and upset that he brought him.
And that was after they had sex for the first time, right?
That was after they'd hooked up, yeah.
Yeah. Like, they had sex for the first time. It was fun. Like, I love that he called her the next day. It was like, making sure you're okay, like, and they were
like
fine.
Just normal immediately. Yeah, there's no weirdness.
And then he says, like, she seemed like the normal Hazel, but I was not the normal Josh, or like I was a changed Josh. And they go to the dinner with Emily and like David, and then she blurts out they had sex. Then, like, you can tell, like they're like, okay, I'm actually really liking each other. Like, I keep on thinking about them like having sex with each other. Tyler comes in and like he's like jealous and he's like trying to make it right and all that stuff. And then they go on a date and doesn't like something happen where he's like embarrassed of Hazel for her dancing or something.
They went to a concert, like a concert in the park or something. And she was like just having fun. And Tyler's like, can you stop? Like, you're embarrassing me.
Yeah. So I was thinking about this earlier. I was like, I can't remember if it was Tyler or just another date.
Yeah, it was him because he was the one who like kind of initially made her like self-conscious about this, because I think he'd said something like, oh, you're too much to handle or whatever.
Yeah.
And but then when he comes back from with on their blind date setup, he's acting like he's always liked that about her and all this stuff. So she was like, oh my god, like he does like that about me, I guess. Like, okay, I guess we'll make it, run over, try it out. And then yeah, he says like, can you stop, like just sit down or something like that, like you're being too much. But meanwhile, Josh got her like a big ass hat that's, I don't even remember what it said, but it says something obnoxious on it, and he's like, I just thought you'd like it and I want you to wear it every day. Like,
awesome. I like
gonna barf because I'm
it's but. Like, so it's so simple, like it's nothing like outwardly like romantic and like a big gesture, but it's just like the simple, like at the end of the day you just want someone who understands you and isn't embarrassed to be around you, and like you don't have to change who you are around other people.
Yeah.
And like something so simple, but like that's what everybody deserves. And like she is quirky and she is different, like she finally got that, and he's also her best friend, and he's like her best friend's brother. Like, he's everything you ever want. And it makes me so happy for her, because she's never had like long-term relationships. Like you said, like Tyler was the longest one she's had. And even then it was like 6 months or something.
And I'm also, another silly thing, similar to like the nicknames, that I'm like, it's a silly trope if you'd like to call it, but I wouldn't really call it a trope, that I am a sucker for, though, is like when the guy, I guess it is kind of a grumpy sunshine in the sense that she's so sunshine, but I don't think he's necessarily like grumpy. He's just very like serious for love.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah, no,
he's not grumpy. Like, you know, he's just very stoic. I think is like kind of a better. So, but I love when like that male kind of character, grumpy or serious, whatever, like when the girl has a dog or a pet of some sort, and they're always like, what is this? Like, get it away from me. And then they own up to it like very quickly and they start loving it just the same. Like, he was kind of similar to that with her dog when she stayed over at his house and she showed up with her dog Winnie, and he's like, girl, I said you could stay here, why is your dog here? And then like I have another quote highlighted that he says, tell Winnie I miss her too. Like that's so sweet.
I know, I was just looking for that. But like, I also was just thinking, like, she's just so fucking funny with like her like, she has like another animal named Janice Joplin. Another one is like a guy's name.
Janice
like,
Hoplin. Isn't it Janice Hoplin, her bunny?
Oh, probably.
And her cat's named Vodka, I think.
Yeah, like what the, like what is wrong with her? She's like, she's like, I want to have like, or he says like, are you like a animal person? Or you love animals? And she's like, yeah, but I also want like 17 kids. Like, she's
yeah,
just.
Yeah. She's so out there.
I know. Oh, and then the fact that he loves Winnie, like, I can't yet. Oh, I was just thinking about that, their text conversation where like she finally moves out and he's like, I miss you. I'm like not tripping over shoes. And like, but I do have more hot water when I shower. So like, that's nice.
No, because literally, guys, when am I gonna get this? I'm mad.
Oh. I know. I have making it. Men.
You need to be their friend. Girl, I'm on them. I can't. No, the thing is, I can't actually speak to men. But dating apps, like, they're so fucking annoying.
Everybody turned me off so quickly.
Yeah, like I literally go on Hinge. I see my likes. I go, no.
Like, you have the audacity to like me. It's how I
no, literally. And tell me, sorry, off the cuff, or not off the cuff, like on a tangent. Why is every fucking guy around me so short all of a sudden? I swear to God, really? every guy that likes me is like 5'6".
And you're tall.
Yeah, I'm like 5'9". So I'm like, no. I'm not a person who's like, they have to be over 6 feet. Like, I don't care, but like, you have to be my height. Like, I don't want to look down at you. Sorry.
I feel
you're
that.
Fine, Jen.
Dad never has to worry about it.
But yeah. And Jen also is the type of girl who is like, I want him to be 6 feet tall. Yeah.
I am that girl. I don't care.
Back when Hinge, when this setting was free on Hinge, fun fact, I'm exposing Jen.
No, literally.
Jen had like the height restriction on her Hinge account.
No.
I did.
Oh my God. Well, but Andy, do you have any guy friends? Maybe your guy friends have like.
No, that's what I was going to say. Like, I can talk to guys in the, like, on dating apps. Like, that's fine. Or like, I don't know. It's like when it's a guy, like guy friends, I feel like if I start feeling attracted to them, that's when I'm like, whoa. I can't talk to them. Like, I just clam up, I feel like.
Yeah. But
no, I have one guy friend. Were you going to say, like, a guy friend? No, hang on. Like, that has friends?
So if you have a guy friend, like, some people don't even have any guy friends. So, like, they don't even actually talk to men.
You definitely have at least one
guy friend.
I don't have guy friends.
I wasn't really ever a person.
Probably.
I have had guy friends before, yes. I
don't. So you know how to talk. Like, people just have never, ever had one. And I'm like, that doesn't help. With, I feel like, I don't know. I just feel like it's easier to talk to guys when you had guy friends. But also, I'm like the opposite. Where, like, I can talk to any guy, like, so casually when I'm all friends with all of them. But, like, once it's, like, a guy flirting with me, I'm like, are you flirting with me? I can't tell. And I can't. I don't know how to flirt. I'm not a flirt, but I can like be friendly all I want. I'm like not
right.
Yeah. I only know how to be a friend.
I never had like close guy friends. Like, I had guy friends that I was like friends with in high school or whatever, but like they weren't any ones I would like talk to frequently outside of school, really. They were more just like school acquaintances. But the only guy friend I currently have is my best friend's boyfriend. So it's like, no.
That's cute though.
Yeah. But we have like, you know, those TikToks where it's like my best friend and my boyfriend, like, are they friends too? And it's always them like fighting each other. Yeah. That's the type of friendship that he and I have. Like,
that's cute.
All we do is just like bully each other. Yeah.
We need to get like if he has any single friends,
bring them around. That's what I was going to say though, if that's what you were getting to, he doesn't have any friends.
What?
Fred's face. She was gonna call him like a fucking loser.
People who don't have friends freak me out.
No, he did, but then he
have friends. That's a lie. You guys have fucking friends.
What am I?
Andy.
Thank you. Adrian. But no, like he had friends, but then he kind of like started losing them in college, and then he had a friend group, but they were all Aubrey, that's my best friend. They're all her friends first. Mm-hmm. Like he didn't feel like he had his own friends. And that's been like a thing actually lately. That's been a very particular topic. But so no, unfortunately, he doesn't have anybody that I could be like, hey.
Damn.
Yeah.
I want to say this one thing and then we can go back to the book. But like I've been trying to make this effort, which I haven't been, but I was saying like after the bar, I'm like gonna like, well, more so when I get back from my trip, I'm gonna like make like my health a priority, and like just like I'm tired of like not feeling confident, and it's holding me back, especially with dating. And I've been getting on dating apps, but like I haven't been like taking it seriously because I'm like, the fact that people like flirting with me, I feel like it doesn't make any sense to me. Like, why are you flirting with me? Like I was thinking about, and I think about this a lot. Like even when I'm in public, like especially when I'm with all like my skinnier, like prettier friends, in my opinion, like last summer we were all down the shore at a bar. And literally all these guys were coming up to me and talking to me. And in my head, they were only talking to me to be nice or like trying to get to my friends, but they weren't even talking to my friends. They were like friendly to my other friends, but like they were talking to me. And I was like, I felt like it was a joke. So I didn't want them talking to me. And then at the end of the night, like the one like asked for my number is like, because like go out to the next night and stuff. And in my head, I'm like, it's only asking for it for like my other friends. But I'm like, no, he would have asked my friends. Like, but I didn't think about it till like weeks later. And I'm like, why do I do that? Like, it's why I'm unsuccessful with dating, because I'm so insecure. But I think there's no fucking way people are flirting with me. Like when I go out, I'm like, get away from me, because I feel like they're just there for my friends, or like I'm the girl they go to. Like, some I have a million guy friends, but I'm all the guys' friends. So I'm like, I literally am like, I hate that I do that to myself. I self-sabotage. Like I could like guys flirt with me and I don't even know it, or like I think they're, it's not for me. So like I'm trying to like make an effort, but I think I need to like be more confident before I do this, and I need to just like get it, you know what I'm saying? So I'm like, that's like my goal, at least.
In the words of RuPaul, if you can't love yourself, how the hell are you gonna let somebody else?
Yeah, like it's so corny, but it's true to an extent. How are you gonna want with somebody else?
Daily reminder to watch RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not gonna every episode he ends saying, if you don't love yourself, how in the hell are you gonna love somebody else? Can I get an amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Back to the book.
Okay, you know the part where like at the end, like they realize that they love each other, but they're afraid that each other doesn't love each other.
Yes.
And like she's with Tyler, and then she's like at the end, like I feel like I have to end up with someone. And then he's trying to hint that like, girl, don't choose him, choose me. But he doesn't say that.
He's like, I forgot about that.
He was like,
yeah.
He was like, yeah, but you know it doesn't have to be him, right? And then she was like, yeah, I know. But like that part broke me, because like that part, like you just know. I love that that they just built up this tension, and then like at the end you're just like pulling your hair, because you're like, you just need to tell each other, you need to talk to each other and tell each other how you feel. And they're just not being upfront with each other, but you know that they know, but they're scared to tell each other that they love each other and they're ready to be together.
Yep.
I think it's always like funny, because it's like, I think the biggest obstacle is like, does my friend find me attractive? And like when you have sex, clearly like they find you attractive, they like fucking you, they've done it multiple times. Like that's like the hardest hurdle. Like I think like also like seeing, because I feel like most people don't just fuck their friends without like kind of liking them already, because like they the fact that it's a big deal. So like, I'm like, come on, like, let's fucking move on. Like, clearly. And like, it's not like Josh was like a guy that fucks around. He's only had like serious relationships.
Right.
And
yeah.
Only, like, slept with like five girls, he said. So like, I'm like, what the hell? Like, I get it's hard because it's like,
I get her though. Like, you want to come off as
cool. Like, you want to come off as cool, like, you know, like.
And I want to say part of also, but... yeah, I was gonna say, sorry to interrupt. I think part of also why she was like questioning that was because the one time they did have sex was drunk, and then the second time was like kind of like out of the blue, like half asleep almost type vibe. So I feel like that's kind of why she like doesn't really think like, oh, he's already attracted to me, because it's like, oh, he was drunk, and like the other one was just like he needed to, you know, come.
Yeah, but they're both like, they both felt like this isn't sex, like it's more like quote unquote making love. Like, they both felt that. Consciously saying it, and like it was just different. That. Like, there was like they were like, whatever this is, I think Josh has said that, like, whatever is going on between us, like, I feel it too. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel normal. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, come on, guys. Like, if I was like that, I would have been like more like, you're past that hurdle. Like, let's go. Be together, you freaks.
You freaks. Yeah. Also, can we talk about, like, I feel like this of the Christina Lauren books I've read is the spiciest. And I wouldn't consider it like a spicy book necessarily, but I did think the spicy scenes were pretty good.
Yeah. We're good.
They
were good.
I agree. I was like, okay, Miss Girl.
Good spice for Christina Lauren, at least. Especially because we're on Honeymooners just fade to black, which was so annoying.
Let's calm down.
He escalates the situation real quick. Yeah, and I do know that they have some that books that are like considered like spicy books.
Yeah.
I don't think this is one of them, but no. I did appreciate the spice that they had. I thought the sex scenes were hot.
I agree.
I won't lie.
Yeah.
So true, I agree.
How did you guys feel about the pregnancy?
I didn't hate it. Like, I feel like I don't like it when it's like a major plot point. Like, clearly in this book the plot point was like the dating and like overall the non-dating aspect. Yeah, like, so what'd you say? Oh, the not dating. So true. I'm a delayed person. What can I say?
What'd you say?
I almost explained it after he said that, and I was like, wait, I'm not getting the joke, I'm slow. But anyway, I did like it in the sense, like, I liked it, but I didn't hate it. Like, I was like, okay, like, I kind of like it. Like, it makes sense. They're best friends. I wonder how this is going to turn out. But I just felt like they finally got together. I wanted to see them actually be together instead of just, like, be together. Like, would they have last if it wasn't for them having a kid? Like, we don't know. Like,
they would have.
Yeah. I want to see it. Like, I don't know. So I didn't hate it. I didn't hate it. And I'm happy, like, they were kind of like, we're gonna be together, and like before he found out, so it wasn't like it was kind of like, okay, well, this is what we have to do. But yeah, I'm like, I could have done without it, but I didn't hate it. I thought it was cute, like, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I just feel like it was very abrupt, like, for an ending. Like, she was so scared to tell him because she didn't know how he was gonna react, and then at the end he was like, yeah, all right, like, you know, like, he was chill about it, like, for the most part, you know.
He's like, we're in this together.
Yeah. And then it ends.
Yep.
Like, it just, I don't know. For me, that was just where, like, wait, what? Like, you just see all this build up throughout their story, and this is how it ends. I feel like I wouldn't have minded if the pregnancy was an epilogue.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it felt almost like it was, but then it technically wasn't. And like,
right.
It was too soon to have like an epilogue.
Mm-hmm.
I think I said this before to you guys, like, the only thing I don't like is, like, I wish he would have found, like, Josh would have found out from her telling him, versus like him seeing like the pregnancy test, then finding the ultrasound, the sonogram, whatever. I did think it was like a, you know, like, you see his inner thoughts and stuff, but I wish she would have told him, and that's how it had played out. Like, it's something so minuscule, but I was like, I kind of would have preferred it the other way. And I actually really did like their epilogue. Like, I feel like sometimes, like, I feel like recently I've been reading books and like the epilogue just, I can, like, what was the point? But I actually really liked their epilogue and it was cute.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I think I definitely, I'd seen it coming, the pregnancy. Like, I feel like there were a couple of, like, I mean, I didn't fully see it coming. Like, I wasn't like, yeah, this is where it's going. But like, I remember there were a few things that happened that was just like, oh God, is she going to be pregnant? And then I think I even texted you guys like, oh my God, is this bitch going to be pregnant?
Yeah.
And then it happened later than I expected. But yeah, I think originally when I did rate it, that's why I rated it the half point lower, because I was like, child, ew. But I appreciated, like Ren said, that the book wasn't a surprise pregnancy book. The book is friends to lovers and she ends up pregnant. Like, I did like that. And it felt very sweet for them. Like, I feel like it works for them how it played out and things. And so that's what made me not hate it. Like, that's what made me be like, okay, you know what? Actually, this is cute. Like, this is sweet. I do enjoy this. And like you said, Ren, I think you said that, Ren, this Ren. Like, I liked that they were like, we're going to be together. And then she says she's pregnant. Like, it doesn't happen because, like, well, fuck, what are we going to do? Be together now?
Like, I don't like when people, like, if it's in movies or like books where like they have sex and then they're like, okay, well, let's just, we're going to be together over this one thing that we have in common. And it's like, those people would end up getting like divorced or separating, whatever.
Yeah.
I feel like it's like, you need to have some kind of like structure first. And even like the epilogue, they have more kids and like whatever. Mm-hmm. And like, they already know they love each other. They like I said before, like Josh is not the type of guy where, I don't know, he was a perfect guy for this to happen to, you know, like perfect fictional guy. But yeah, I agree. It's just like, sometimes it's like, and I hate the people who are like, they complain about this book and they're like, because of pregnancy trope. Like, it's not. Like,
no, it's not pregnancy, it's not trope at all. Yeah. Like, the only time I think there's ever been, in terms of books or movies or something, like a time where I didn't hate there being a pregnancy in the sense of they got pregnant and then they're like, well, shit, I guess we should be together, was, I don't know if either of you have ever seen What to Expect When You're Expecting.
I love that movie
okay, so much. Me too, top tier, one of my faves. Anna Kendrick and Chase Crawford, they're the only time I've ever been like, okay, that was cute, when like they hooked up, she got pregnant, and then they're like I think there's even a part where he's like, well, shit, should we be together, and she's like, well, shit, should we be together, really, that's what you're gonna say. But I think I only like that because the whole point of the movie, that it's like jumps around to a bunch of different people, like we don't see them for that long. If I'd gotten a whole movie of just them, I probably would have been like, oh, okay, really? But like, in just short snippets, it was cute, lived. So that's like the only time I've liked that sort of situation. But like, so I'm glad, so glad that that's not at all what this was. But yeah, so like, I do think it's stupid when people are like, oh, Josh and Hazel, is not a pregnancy book. Like, no, it's not. Shut up. I'll protect them with my life.
They just have no taste. They don't.
Exactly.
They have no taste.
Especially because it was literally at the end. It wasn't a trope in the book. It just happened at the end.
And even her finding out, like, it's not like she knew that she was pregnant, like, for half the book even. Like, she barely found out. And then that's all. But I loved the epilogue, like seeing them with their other kids and then her pregnant too, and him being like, Hayes, settle down, when she's like doing too much with the kids and she's like, oh my God, stop. Or them when they go on their little date night.
And she got like, all the kids she wanted. She got all the, like, little kids and like,
and I love that, like, they have the house that he wanted too, because he wanted to have a house where his parents could live, like, on the other side of it, and like be there and help take care of the kids, and like they got that. And like,
like, there's the one part where, like, one of the kids he's like talking to, and like they're like answering like they answered like in a weird way to his question, and he was like, yep, that one's all haze. And I was
like, I think they said that the son looks just like him but is all Hazel in personality, and their daughter looks just like her but is all him in personality. Like, that's so sweet,
which is so spot on, because that's like literally
how most how it happens, like, usually. Yeah,
so would you guys recommend?
Yes. Always. Yes, of course. 100%.
Yes. And I have. It's just your friend's lover's person, rom-com girly. This is for you. It's so good.
Yeah, I was going to say just a rom-com
girly. Just a rom-com person.
You read it.
Yeah, it's for you. Yep.
So good.
Love. Okay. I am a big fan. Let me go to the document. Hold up. Okay. Catch the next episode on Monday, September 26th at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will be discussing The Wall of Winnipeg and Me by Mariana Zapata.
You can follow us on our socials at Boozy Book Talk Pod on Instagram and TikTok. And you can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or pretty much anywhere podcasts are available. Make sure to subscribe and give us a review, and be sure to follow us on our individual Goodreads and Bookstagram accounts.
Thanks for listening.
Cheers. Cheers.